So our movie is showing at the Free Minds Film Festival in Colorado a week from today on Saturday.
Oh yeah. I'm stoked. Are we gonna have anybody we know there checking it out?
I don't think so. It's at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. I'll have a blog post tomorrow up about it, and I'm sending him 10 copies or eight, two for him, and then 8 copies of the Gun Training DVD to give away as prizes. I didn't have any more guns and weed, but I had some my new film, so he's gonna give them away. And I was thinking, like, gun films in Colorado, too soon?
No, I don't think it's too soon. Do you think it's too soon?
No, I think it might cause some controversy, though. I told him to advertise the hell out of both facts.
It's good. Yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll bring people in.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what we need, right? We don't need to tuck our tail behind our legs or between our legs. Yep. Let's just get out there and talk more about the truth.
So Ben from the Ben Fien, our honorary fifth fiend, mm-hmm. or whatever, fourth fiend, said the Freedom Fiends podcast, if you swallow the poison of the state, these guys will stick their finger down your throat while holding your hair out of the toilet water. Yeah, they're that good. That's like the best endorsement, not just because it's from him, but that's part of it. But that's like a blessing from the Pope to me, you know?
Yeah. It's totally our feel too. Like, I know. It's like he's definitely an honorary fiend for having put it in those words.
It's longer than tasing you with liberty since 2011, but in the same ballpark, but better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Ben. We love you.
So the last chance for buttons. I'm gonna take orders for a couple more days, and then we're gonna be out of them. We've got tons of button orders, and then we're gonna go to wholesale only. You're gonna have to buy like 50 buttons if you want them after that. So you can still buy the 4-packs for $6 within the U.S. and add $5 extra for Canada. So buttons going fast. Buttons.
Yeah, yeah. You can still buy a whole bunch and distribute them to your friends, hand them out on campus or whatever you do.
Get arrested for free speech.
Yeah, throw handfuls of them at the cops. No, don't do that.
Is it running away? Dude, I saw the weirdest casting choice ever on CSI.
Uh-huh.
Justin.
Wait. You were watching CSI?
Yeah. Oh. I like CSI. It's The Shield I can't watch. Because the CSI guys just find murder. I mean, they're still state employees and have, you know, all that crap. But all they do is catch murderers. You know, CSI, they like roust drug dealers and plant drugs on them and beat them up.
But you mean in The Shield?
I mean, in The Shield, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they, in doing so, they make everybody think that the state is providing a worthy service.
Okay, this one was totally really, really status. But I just got to tell you about the weirdest casting choice. Tell me. Justin Bieber, is that his name? The pop singer, little
the Biebs.
Boy?
Yeah. Yeah, the Biebs.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, who knows about that?
He played a violent militia member on CSI. whose brother blew up a cop's funeral and then shot his brother.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
What'd they do with his hair? Did he still have
He looked just like him, but he's wearing like a flannel shirt or something and quoting the Constitution, man.
Wow. Maybe that's the CIA trying to turn cool people off of liberty. Or not liberty, but the Constitution.
I think it is. But it was just the weirdest casting choice I've ever seen in my life. It was pretty cool.
Was he good at it, or was it completely ridiculous?
He can act for a singer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of acting and singers,
Think he's an actor first who acts like he sings. Oh, yeah.
Well, we both watched a movie called What We Do Is Secret, which is a biopic of the band The Germs. Now, I had really low expectations of this movie because there's been a bunch of punk rock, good old day biopics lately, like the one that sucked, like the one about the Runaways. Joan Jett is actually portrayed in this when she's producing the first Germs album. They pan over to this passed out leather clad woman on the floor and they say, producer, Joan Jett.
In the studio. Like everybody's putting in work and like talking about the track and who needs to do what to play it better. And it cuts to Joan Jett and she's just passed out.
Yeah,
no input in the process.
Kurt Cobain produced a record by the band The Melvins in a studio where Bomb recorded, Razor's Edge in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, wow, what was that like having him here? And he's like, well, he spent most of the time passed out on the couch.
I thought like Kurt Cobain was like a huge fan of The Melvins.
He was,
like,
but he was, on drugs
at that
kicking
point.
Drugs or exhausted.
He was far
all
gone.
Three.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nirvana,
Pat Smear, man.
He was in The Germs. Yeah. You didn't know that. Yeah.
No, I didn't. And at the end, I just felt so bad for him because, like, he takes the news. I don't know. Well, I guess spoiler alert, whatever. Go watch it. But, yeah, he takes the call and realizes that the lead singer for the Germs just offed himself.
And he's watching TV, and it's the same day that John Lennon was killed.
Is that true? That's really how it went down?
Yeah, and he's watching John Lennon report, you know, the report of his death on TV and freaking out about it because he's a punker who actually likes the Beatles. And, you know, someone from his bass player calls and she's like, did you hear the news? And he's like, yeah, it's horrible.
He thinks she's talking about John Lennon, but she's not.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was all sad. And it was appropriately sad. And they built to a nice little cathartic release there. But I just thought, you know, poor Pat Smear, because he had to deal with that twice because he was in Nirvana when Kurt Cobain did the same exact thing. I guess not the same exact thing, not the same way, but
wasn't a suicide pact. It was accidental. Or some say murder, but I think it was accidental.
Yeah. Either way.
Intentional. I don't know, man. Who knows? But
We don't want to get into the Kurt Cobain conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Well, we're not that kind of conspiracy theory.
We're going to talk more about What We Do Is Secret, the movie about the Germs, which is great, and it's on Netflix streaming when we come back from selling things.
Yeah. I'm not really even into movies or punk, but I dug it.
When the promoter starts charging money, he says, those lights don't run on anarchy and fishnet stockings.
Hacha.
Yeah.
Want to search porn in private? Or maybe you just want to talk to your friends without some tech goon hired off a pizza box snooping through your private thoughts. MetroPipe VPN is a secure computing service operated by privacy-loving anarcho-capitalists. Accounts can be had for as little as $7.50 a month. They take Bitcoin, don't keep any logs, and hate nanny intrusions as much as you do. Get a 25% discount by going to metropipe.net/fiends. That's metropipe.net/fiends. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
Ah.
Yo.
It's the fiends. What it do?
Yo. Yeah. I just took a panoramic picture of my new office. I'm going to steal money from the fiends and sew this together. It's four shots. I have like a wall of desks along two walls, like surrounding my room with five computers.
I'm jealous.
Yeah,
I've got two computers, but they're like, I'm in like a 100 square foot space here. I'm in my closet.
I'm in 120 square feet with a bed in it, but it feels roomier, I think, probably than yours.
Yeah, probably.
So I've been experimenting with Linux, man. I'm really liking it.
Yeah, I saw your screenshot, man. Yep. I hear you digging it.
Yep. I think...
Are you on Linux right now while you're mumbling?
No.
Are you going to be in the future?
I've been doing like boot from a DVD, like dual boot kind of, or like, you know, live CD, live DVD, just to try out this particular one. But I ordered a new computer, a new used computer that was like $50 and would have been a great computer like 4 years ago. And I want to put Linux exclusively on that. I actually want to talk to some Linux people. We have a lot of fans who are Linux people. I want to talk to them about doing a Fiends Linux at some point.
A Flinix.
I really like that. Yep.
Or Fleenex, like Kleenex.
Fleenex. Yeah. So let's talk more about this movie, What We Do Is Secret.
Yeah. Well, my first impression was like, because you were telling me, yeah, he's a fascist. And I was like, oh, he's a punk, but he's a fascist, like not an anarchist. And in the first scene, they kind of address that. And the dude's a really good actor.
Those are from real interviews, too, like the stuff he's saying.
Oh, they are? The stuff? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the actor was really doing it justice. I mean, I don't know who the guy was. I didn't know anything about the Germs until
I
saw this.
There's no well-known actors in there at all. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
The best-known one is the girl. The bass player is played by Bijou Phillips, who's I think the granddaughter of John Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas.
She was freaking hot, dude.
Yeah, she was.
I was like, damn.
The girl was hot, but the bass player.
Yeah, that's who I mean. Player. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean,
in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I can kind of ask you about this because you were saying, you know, it sort of portrays a part of the punk scene that you always try to tell me about and I didn't know anything about because I wasn't alive. Well, in his first little interview, he's like, yeah, we're fascists, but we're not like Nazis. Like, I can respect Hitler for being a genius, but not for killing off all those innocent people.
Yeah.
And it was like the way he said it. And I wanted to ask you, like, he says, yeah, we're fascists. So casual. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Or, yeah, you know, I like to watch The Office at night kind of thing.
Yeah.
Did you have to have a political philosophy if you were in the punk scene back then?
Kind of. But he was saying, like, I don't have one. This is mine. You know, he was just, I think he was trying to poke people a bit, too, you know?
Yeah. It was another aspect of his performance art.
Yes.
Okay.
But he, you know, they said, who do you think would be the best leader for fascism? And he's like,
me.
Yeah. Which was a very kind of...
Don't all fascists think that?
Yeah, I think so. All politicians
secretly
think that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And then I was wondering about the music. Is that all like Germs tracks that they played and had him sing over it?
I think they were re-recorded. I don't know what they did, but it sounds just like the Germs.
Okay.
Like the Germs.
Well, in the wiki page, it was saying that the guy who plays the lead singer in the movie did a show with all the original members after the movie was over.
Oh, they toured and got a lot of criticism from Ian MacKay and Fat Mike.
Did they?
And, yeah, a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they were like, why'd you get this Hollywood pretty boy to be, you know?
Yeah, the Germs were sacred to people. I mean, you know, the way you identified as a Germs fan was you burned your wrist with a cigarette, you know? So, like, people were really serious about it.
Yeah. I could tell. But some of the music was pretty cool. Like, Rice Krispies coming to kill you tonight. I mean, what's up with that?
I know. And some of it was really, really poetic, though, too. Didn't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. I thought, you know, it was deep, but I couldn't tell if it was like actually deep or if it was trying to sound deep.
He was pretty smart, man. I mean, he was, you know, he was bizarre. He was, you know, self-described fascist, gay, intelligent, drug addict, wanted to be leader of the world, had a 5-year plan, was a participant in EST, Erhard's seminar training, which we've talked about, through his high school. And he had a 5-year plan, and the end of the 5-year plan was killing himself, but he didn't tell anybody that till it had, you know, ever.
And he actually carried it out. I'd be like,
with some girl.
With some girl.
Yep.
Yeah. Did she actually die? Because I thought she woke up and
she
was
lived.
Like, I don't think I'm dead yet.
No, she lived. Yeah, I know some of the people are based on that movie. Don Bowles, the drummer. I've been in the same room with him a half dozen times and had long talks as I could with him. I think he's really... He's damaged in some way. I don't know if he's still doing drugs or not, but he DJs at clubs in L.A. And he tried to pick up a friend of mine's mother at a party. Nicole Panter, I knew. She's not in the movie or featured in the movie. She was one of the managers of the Germs, not the plump lady, but maybe that was a compilation of people. But Nicole Panter is now a college professor at like Caltech or something or some California Arts College. And she paid me government money to come out and show DIY or Die and lecture about back in the day.
Okay.
And although, you know, there were some compilations in the movie of people that may have been insults intentionally, or like, for instance, when they're playing with Black Flag at one of the second to the last shows there, I think at the Fleetwood or the Starwood or something. The singer on stage is kind of a fat, slubby looking bald guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
I looked up. They had a bunch of singers. They were, you know, like Chavo Pederast.
Who Black Flag did?
Yeah. And then Greg Cadenza, whatever it is, who later switched over to second guitar when Rollins joined the band. And I looked up like the date that movie, it says on the screen, Rollins was the singer then. And I'm like, really? You're going to portray Rollins as this like fat, slubby.
Does Bobby Hill look alike?
Yeah, Bobby Hill. With an attitude. Yeah.
That's hilarious. One of the other things I was wondering and wanted to ask you about is, You know, there was some mosh pits in there. Was that sort of when moshing started? Was with that scene? Or well, then I wikied moshing, and it said it started with the Bad Brains in D.C., or at least that's when they started, calling it moshing.
No, this was before the Bad Brains and the D.C. explosion. This was like 76 to 80, the germs were together, I think. And Bad Brains were like 79 to present or something, or 80 to 82 to present.
Yeah, there's a little bit of overlap there.
Yeah,
though,
and you know, I started going to punk rock. I was into punk rock when the Germs broke up in 1980, but I didn't go to punk shows because I didn't live anywhere that had them until I moved to DC in like 83 or 82. Late 82. So, and the scene I was in was a little more, it was different than West Coast. The West Coast was more nihilistic, destroy yourself. The East Coast DC thing was kind of like,
destroy other people.
We have the power. We're the kids. We have unity. Let's change the world. You know, a little more political and
because it grew up around DC.
Yeah, I mean there wasn't as much, and it was, you know, the DC thing to be cool was to be straight edge, and the thing to be cool in LA was to be a drug addict nihilist who will shoot any. Remember that scene in the movie in where Darby, like, some guy brings him three vials of drugs and one of them's not labeled.
Because the drug dealer wasn't home, so he says, "Yeah, I just broke in."
Yeah.
Yep. He brings him three things. He's like, I don't know what this one is.
He's like, this is speed. This is MDMA. I don't know what this is. And Darby picks the one that he doesn't know what it is and pulls out his syringe and shoots some of it and freezes, like can't move for a while.
Yeah, and then it's all dramatic and somebody's like, ha, you fag, that's just ketamine.
That's what homos use when they butt-do each other.
No, it was like when they get fisted in their ass.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd like to talk a little bit more about moshing, but we got to go do things the corporate way for a little bit.
We have to go do things to commerce.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's the Fiends, and what we do is secret.
It is.
So we're
it's quite the opposite, but fair enough.
So Kurt Cobain hired Pat Smear to buy some punk rock credibility after Nirvana got huge.
It worked though, didn't it?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Pat Smear was awesome.
Yeah.
In Nirvana. And in the Foo Fighters afterwards. Why did he leave the Foo Fighters? Or did he get kicked out? Or do you know?
I don't know.
You know? You didn't care at that point?
I don't care. I don't listen to Foo Fighters.
I don't care. Screw them.
I mean, when they come on, I know them. I like them. But, I mean, that movie, I will just say in closing that What We Do Is Secret is a great biopic. It was surprisingly good. It was done by an unknown director who also wrote the screenplay. It took them 10 years to make it.
Oh, wow.
It really kind of what it sums up for me is, like, you know, when I'm telling you or anybody about like my band Bomb, like, it was kind of a similar scene without as much violence. And it was like, when I'm trying to tell you, like, the danger, the fun, the having sex with people over the pool table in the middle of a party, the shooting drugs without knowing what they are, the trips to the hospital, gigs ending in riots. You know, I've done all that. I've been there, done all that. And it's like, you can't really imagine it until you. Or if the movie kind of shows what it was like.
You want to show us how much fun you used to have?
I used to be somebody. Let me tell you about the 80s, Bobby.
I mean, about the violence, did it get as violent, you know, in the DC scene? You said it's not as violent, but how close of an approximation?
Well, I saw fights a lot. And I saw cops come in and close down shows. I never saw any heads get busted. I saw Ian MacKay punch people more than once.
Okay. Well, there was one
he's
scene.
He's now a peacenik.
He's the straight edge founder.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. I like him. He's really peace loving and never. He's I can't believe I used to fight.
Well, there was this one scene where there's like this riot at one of their shows. I forget why, because it seems like all their shows end like that. And the camera shows what looks like riot shields. You don't really see like police paraphernalia other than a riot shield. And then
you see
it ends with like a club hitting the camera over and over again, and then to black.
That actually happened. You know, there's one of Henry Rollins' books. Has a photo on the cover of like Black Flag marquee at a theater, like playing at a big theater, and there's like 50 riot cops lined up in front of the theater.
Oh, really?
You ever seen that picture? I'll find that.
Yeah. That could be
happened.
Could be the podcast photo for today.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I brought up moshing earlier. What do you think of the idea as a mosh pit, as an anarchic order or an example, like kind of like an autonomous zone?
A mosh pit is an. I never really liked moshing. People got kind of violent with it, you know, because jocks would show up and think, "Oh, you just hit people," you know. But yeah, punk rock shows and clubs were often autonomous zones. I mean, a lot of them were underground in unlicensed clubs and either sold booze or didn't. And like, they'd have a show or two until it got closed down, then move it somewhere else. And it was like word of mouth where it would be. And yeah, they were definitely like kind of, you know, I mean, punkers had no love of the cops, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like even today in non-punk scenes or just, you know, rock or metal scenes too, mosh pits are like an autonomous zone, even within the autonomous zone. If anything, because the state doesn't have a monopoly of violence there, you know, everybody has the right for violence. And but it's not collectivized either. Like, I feel like it's sort of a natural order. And if people get out of hand, they get thrown out of the mosh pit, usually by the people moshing themselves. And usually it's confined to its own space. Like, the people who don't want to mosh don't have to. They just stand on the edges or get back.
So I'm sending you this picture of the Black Flag show with the riot cops all walking into it. And it's KROQ Presents, which is Rodney on the Rock, that weird DJ who's in the Jones movie. Played really well. I've met him. I met him at a party with Olivia Barish from the movie Repo Man. She brought him up to San Francisco to show him off. And he was at a party, and he was like, you know, looked about 60, and he was sitting over in the corner. It's about 1995. And he's like looking around like, why aren't people recognizing me and trying to get me to do things for them like they do in L.A.?
Well, he's a radio guy anyway, so like, yeah. Do people actually know what he looked like?
Yeah, because he was like running clubs in person and like, you know, making bands. Like, if he liked your band, man, you were it.
Yeah,
and he liked
the Germs. He was the kingmaker.
He was the kingmaker.
The fascist kingmaker.
And the Germs were the first, the maker of fascist kings. He wasn't a fascist. Okay. He's a really sweet guy, from what I hear. But he also ran a label. But yeah, I mean, the Germs were the first band to put out a single in L.A. The first punk band. So, you know,
that kind of blows my mind. Like, those guys, really? Because in the movie, it's portrayed as like it was kind of like a, not a joke to them, but it's not like they had chops or had been working at it for years. They just sort of put out a record. Right. That was the first punk single put out in L.A.?
Yeah.
Why?
But because nobody took it seriously. Like, you're not taking it seriously right now. Although, you know, they got better as they went on. I mean, by the end of that, they were raging. They were great.
Yeah. I guess that just speaks to, you know, when punk started was like with them in L.A.
He could still never sing, though.
Oh, really?
I mean, really. Yeah. Look at your email. I just sent you the picture. I'll maybe use that for the episode today. Will that work with what we're calling it? Statists just want to put people in jail for having fun or something.
Yeah, dude. That totally works. they're going into a marquee about to keep everybody from having fun at the concert.
They're going to a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That building behind that is where my friend Blaine's office used to be. I can't remember. Sunset and something. Sunset and Gower, which is kind of like the beginning. Like, you hear people say, like, you know, Hollywood people are like, yeah, I never go east of Gower. Like, that's kind of where the real Hollywood begins, is Gower and Sunset.
Okay. It gets ghetto on the other side.
Yeah, and I lived about 2 or 3 miles on the other side from where the cops were coming, on the ghetto side. Two or three miles more ghetto. Yeah.
It is getting progressively more ghetto.
Yeah, and then you get past Silver Lake, where I lived, which is where a lot of this movie was filmed, actually. And then you get to Echo Park, where I used to live before that. And then you get to East LA, where, like, I wouldn't even go in the daytime if I could help it, man. It's where a lot of The Shield takes place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that where the Cheech and Chong character, Cheech, says he's from?
Born in East LA. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Score. Yeah. Doesn't he do, like, a cop show now? Or didn't he do a cop show?
Well, he did... Streets is, what's the San Francisco one with Don Johnson? I forget. It was horrible. Man, he does something else now. Although Cheech and Chong got back together and like did their old stoner characters and did an ad for something really cheesy and everyone hated him for it.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. I guess once something like that's time has passed, you might as well just...
Well, yeah, it's like reforming the Germs with an actor, pretty boy singing, you know?
Although I'm none the wiser. Like, to me, when I think of the Germs, I'll always think of that little actor, pretty boy.
Well, you should go watch...
And that hot blonde chick playing the bass.
You should go watch some scenes on YouTube from the movie Decline of Western Civilization, which is shown in there.
Germs.
Yeah, well, it's the whole scene. But, you know, Penelope Spheres, the director, comes up and says, yeah, I want to film you. And, she, you know, Darby's like, we can't play anywhere. And she's like, I'll rent a place. Those scenes are in that movie, Decline, and It's on YouTube.
What's that movie like? Is it like, hey, cool, the decline of Western civilization? Or is it like, look at this, the decline of Western civilization?
She was not an insider. It's cool. It's not judgmental. But, you know, I mean, then she did like a metal version of that film. And then like, then she went on to be like, you know, a Hollywood director, you know, like a big Hollywood director. What did she do? She did the Beverly Hillbillies and Wayne's World, you know.
okay. Yeah, Wayne's World was pretty awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Which I think there's some of.
I don't even have a gun, let alone multiple guns, which I would need a rack for.
What are you saying?
When she buys Wayne a gun rack for.
I can't remember.
I guess
this
for
scene.
His birthday. You can't? Okay. I don't know why I just stuck out.
Who buys Wayne a gun rack?
Wayne's ex-girlfriend, who he doesn't want to see anymore. She buys him a gun rack. He's like, I don't even have a gun.
That's alone multiple guns.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how he talks in there, because he seems really stupid, but occasionally he says things that are eloquent, but still says I'm stupid.
Yeah.
So I can picture him. I could totally hear him doing that.
Yeah. I didn't do it justice at all. I can't remember how he talks.
Why don't you give the number out? We are a call-in show.
Yeah, I guess we are. Okay, the number is 307-215-5171. Go ahead and give us a call and tell us what you want to hear about. Oh, yeah. But maybe you should wait until after this chunk of commerce.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Fiends, what we do is secret. That's why we use encryption. Right?
I guess.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents. Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
we were talking. There's not even any music. Like we must have been talking through all
the bumper
music.
I heard the last little bit of it. We were talking about Linux, and I uploaded the Guns and Weed movie trailer, the official final trailer yesterday. I uploaded the trailer a year ago. Oh, Fiend Phone's calling. Who's this? Who's this on the Fiend Phone?
Oh, it's so quiet. I can barely hear the Fiend Phone.
Hello, Fiend. Who's this?
Hey, it's Ross from the Don't Tread on Meme dime card thing.
Are you going to sue us for copyright infringement because we're doing dime cards?
I don't know. No, Drew makes those.
I know.
That's his gig. I'm not part of that. What are you guys talking about right now?
Whatever you want to talk about. Linux.
Or whatever you want to talk about.
Oh, okay. When I was just watching this, have you seen Billy Joe up throw a tantrum on stage?
From Green Day? No.
Yeah. Okay. So he was at the iHeart Radio Festival, which I don't know is going on now or something in Vegas, and they cut the Green Day set from 25 minutes down to 1 minute to make room for Usher. And
they cut the set to one minute. Hey, dude, if you're a punk rock band, that could be a set. But
they cut it by 1 minute, or they cut it to 1 minute.
They cut it to 1 minute because there was a screen at the back of the room. You can watch the YouTube of it.
I'm watching it.
So he threw a tantrum.
I'm watching it.
Well, I thought I'd call y'all up because, you know, Michael you know, you're real punk. You've got real punk cred compared to Green Day, which sadly, I mean, I love Green Day. Dookie came out in fourth grade for me.
My
band Bomb used to play the same club that they were broke in, Gilman Street Project in Berkeley. I mean, I was around that scene. I like some of their stuff a lot, but, you know, people should just play music and not talk about politics. That guy says he's a libertarian, but then he goes and like gives rants about Obama and gives rants about what's wrong with gun owners, and the guy drives me nuts.
Really? Yeah. I didn't even know that. I kind of had the feeling that he didn't really know where he stood in politics at all. But just from the fact that, I think it was a few years ago, Pete Shelley from the Buzzcocks called him out and like, yeah, he's not punk. So that's kind of all I needed to hear.
Yeah. Have you seen that Germs movie we were talking about, What We Do Is Secret?
No.
It's really good.
I did watch that Triumph of the Will upon your recommendation. That's crazy, like hilariously bad.
Well, the Nazi propaganda thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the filmmaking is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. It's moving.
I mean, it was groundbreaking. It actually like brought filmmaking forward, but yeah, it was used for horrible purposes.
What's this new movie you're talking about?
It's called What We Do Is Secret. It's a biopic about the band The Germs. I was just thinking about it because you were talking about like some older punk rocker calling some other punk rocker out, and there's a scene in the movie we're talking about where The Germs play their first gig and like they totally can't even play yet, and the two or three of the guys from The Damned who were playing across the street come to see him, and they end up like throwing flour and beer on him and insulting him. And I mean, that'd be kind of like if you were playing in your garage and Jimmy Page showed up and you kicked him in the nuts, you know?
Yeah. What do you guys think? I was going to make a co-branding cooperative shirt for you guys, and it says on it, Tone the Drones. would you guys like that? Would you guys?
I like it. It rhymes.
I think.
Say it again.
Yeah, it just
clone the drones.
Yeah. Clone the drones,
yeah, I don't know,
man.
Maybe.
Well, you know, that could be like the printable. When they get the printable gun project perfected, they could do a printable drone project and call it Clone the Drones.
Yeah,
clone the drones. Yeah. Did you say you sent an image of it?
Yeah, I don't know, because we. With Ernie Hancock's workshop here, we can make t-shirts and stuff. And I'm going to go and make some new t-shirts because we're going to Libertopia and we're going to represent the dime card. Don't you know what I mean? And I'll see if I make a new design, but not a big hurry. Just wanted to run that slogan past y'all. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind, like I'd throw your project on there with like three of the four projects to get you out.
What, for a dime card, you mean?
I mean, yeah, if you want to throw me like a Guns N' Weed DVD, I'll send you some shirts. I don't know. Just kicking around.
Huh.
Shirts? We should talk offline about this. It sounds like something we'd want to do, but no one wants to hear us work out the details of a business deal in here.
Okay. Yeah. Brainstorming.
What's your name on Facebook? Where do I find you?
Oh, it's Ross Edwards.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Scottsdale?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I added you as a friend. You can accept my gift of friendship, and we'll work it out.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. No, I just called in about Billy Joe. Oh, and then at the end, you got to watch. He tries to smash his guitar, and he almost doesn't, like,
succeed. I saw it. Yeah.
It almost doesn't break.
They make them better than they did in the 60s. Yeah. We got another caller trying to get in. I'm going to let him get on here.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, man.
Anytime.
Yep.
Bye.
Have a good one.
All right, whoever called, call right back. Yeah, the Fiends, man. Dime cards, yeah, merch, yeah. Good. I'm holding some dime cards right now. I finally got my... Finally, Drew sent me my Fiends dime cards. He will send you yours quicker. Basically, what happened is mine got stolen by the
government
post
office. The government stole it. The government.
And then he gave me five of them as a replacement, which is pretty cool, but it took a while to get them. So I got them. They look good.
Right.
I'm going to give one to my dad because he used to use these dimes when he was younger. And he talks about, he's the guy that taught me when I was a kid. Like, if you ever see this pre-64 dimes, hold on to them. They're worth money.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah. And these are Mercury dimes, right?
Yeah, they're not the fascist dimes. Although they have the fascist stick on the back, but not the fascist man on the front.
Right. Fascist stick, not the fascist stick.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. That's cool.
Wayne's World. So I saw go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, how horrible would that be to actually try to break your guitar and not have it break? Like, that'd be the most embarrassing. That's almost as embarrassing as being a football team and, like, bouncing off the banner instead of, like, breaking through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a correction from a while
ago.
Oh,
yeah. That's
yeah. I said on the gumbo that that L. Neil Smith was the guy who was going to sue somebody send this law firm of Smith & Wesson for someone copying his books. That was actually J. Neil Schumann, but L. Neil Smith has a similar ideology about intellectual property, but it was J. Neil Schumann.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even if L. Neil Smith's position is similar, like, I've never heard him say anything that loopy or crazy about it, you know,
right.
In a forum with other libertarians. Like, that's the worst thing. He's like, I don't even know who J. Neil Schumann is. Like, what did he write?
You know what I was trying to think of last night? I used to screw this girl named Carolyn, who was the first drummer for the band Hole. And I was like, I ran across her online on Falling Down Wormholes, and I'm like, how did I end up sleeping with her? I can't remember. And it, you know, went on for a week or two. And I'm like, wow, how did that happen? I can't remember.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I think you just wanted to brag about how you banged the drummer from Hole.
I did, but I really like what Darby Crash said in the movie. We don't have groupies. You know, maybe the first night they're groupies, but then you hang around with them and they become friends. Yeah.
If they're driving you places, they're not groupies anymore. They're friends.
Yeah.
So we don't have any groupies because they all become our friends.
Yeah. I was kind of her groupie, though, and she was my groupie. Carolyn. Yeah,
you were co-groupies.
Carolyn Rue from Hole. Yeah.
What point in Hole's career was this?
After she got kicked out.
Oh, after the drummer got kicked out. Okay.
Yeah.
After Kurt Cobain was dead?
No. They got signed and kicked her out immediately.
Okay. Well, they needed a better drummer.
Yeah. Courtney Love stole her Carolyn's dress style and then kicked her out. Yeah, the Kinderwhore thing was
chew
all
you
Carol.
Up and spit
the,
you
the,
out.
The Kinderwhore thing was all Carolyn.
Kinderwhore, that's a good name for it.
Yeah,
that's
what they
that
call
before.
It. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Okay, Kinderwhore.
Yeah,
yeah, that's dirty.
That's dirty. So I've lost 14.5 pounds on the Fiend's diet. Did I say that? Yeah, I did.
You did, yeah. Okay. But you're so proud of it.
I'm pretty
you can
proud.
Say it again
of it.
If you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah.
I can't stop eating bread. Somebody help me.
Yeah. Bread is basically building material.
It is. It is. I like don't eat it outright. We don't buy bread. It's just when you eat fast food, it's kind of hard not to.
So I have another movie recommendation. It's kind of got a libertarian angle.
Yeah.
It's a really awesome, amazing, dark, beautiful film by Nick Cassavetes, same guy that did Alpha Dog. 2009 movie called My Sister's Keeper. It was heavy for me because it's about a girl dying from leukemia. And the libertarian part of it is her 11-year-old sister sues her parents for medical emancipation because she was bred to be an organ bank for her sick sister. Awesome movie. Highly recommend it.
It does sound deep, and I think we can talk a little bit about how it made you feel philosophically after we engage in some more commerce.
I love commerce.
Me too.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
We got me using the ribbon mic today instead of the condenser, and we were having some problems. We have a theory. We're wondering if maybe the static from the condenser was making me sound a little noisy, like poppy, glitchy.
Because they work on static, basically. They create an electrical charge across two thin sheets of gold, you know, micrometers apart, and creates capacitance, which is why they don't work well in the winter when it's really staticky. They start sounding brittle. But I think it was picking up pops. And my theory is like, you know, when you record music, you're up and down all the time, and you're probably in front of that mic for 3 minutes at a time. When you're doing the show, you're in front of it for 20 or 30 minutes. You're moving back and forth with your butt in the chair, fabric rubbing on fabric. You know, a human body has a certain amount of capacitance. You're creating static, and you're up on the mic, and I think you were making pops on it. Because
Plus, I have a giant beard, and I talk really close to the mic, so maybe the beard is, you know, moving around, rubbing the pop filter.
Good thing we fixed this, or I'd be like, dude, you got to shave that beard for your art.
For the Fiends, yeah.
Yeah. I think I just heard a pop. I really do. I think I heard the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, let us know. Call us. Give us some feedback. It's 307-215-5171. Again, that is 307-215-5171. That's the Fiend's calling number, y'all.
So this movie, My Sister's Keeper.
I saw a
trailer for it in 2009, and I was like, there's no effing way in hell I'm seeing this movie. I saw one ad for it. It was kind of like, you know, one of those like big indies or small Hollywood movies to where like they do one day of ads on TV or something. First of all, it was like, oh, it's about a girl dying of leukemia. Just what a guy who's only
Fiend phone
kid
dying Fiend
of leukemia
phone.
Wants to see.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Hang on a second there, Fiend. Let me finish the thought, please. And the other thing was the trailer really made it look like an after-school special. You know, trailers are never accurate.
They were going for the Oprah audience.
Yep. Okay. So who's the Fiend on the line here?
Well, that's one of your fans from Canada, Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Rico,
buttons.
What's
How
up?
How are you doing?
Didn't you get in trouble for the buttons?
That was me.
Why? Because your wife said there's hot chicks on most of them.
That's right.
Cool.
He was mad.
Did you say not as hot as you, baby?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, good. That's the appropriate married response.
My wife said, wow, I don't really like those hot chicks, but you know, sex sells. I think that's smart.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she's smart.
Yep. Now that I think of it, my wife was upset too when she saw the Freedom Fiend model. She hates her. I don't know why. She's just like, I can't believe you have a Freedom Fiend model, you bastard.
And not only do we have a Freedom Fiend model, we have like a hot Eastern European Freedom Fiend model. Yeah, she's from Croatia, and she's actually done some modeling. So, and she's a Fiend fan. She's going to call in one of these days on Skype. But the problem is, like, she works early in the morning, and our show is the middle of the night for her. You know?
Yeah. Okay. That's the one with the medical marijuana?
No, the one with the Fiend's t-shirt. It's just Freedom Fiend.
Oh, she's real?
Yeah, the she's real. Yeah, that's wearing a homemade t-shirt.
She was computer generated. She's a
Fiend. That's what I thought. Yeah, the one on the freedomfiends.com page.
Yeah, you thought that was computer generated?
Yes, I did.
Well, there is something kind of highly like she took it on a solid color background, and I kind of turned up the saturation on the picture in Photoshop a little bit.
It was tweaked. Okay. It was tweaked, definitely tweaked.
But she looks like that. I mean, her name's Iva. If you go to the Freedom Fiends FAQ page, there's one of the questions is, who's the hot chick in your pictures? And there's a link to her Facebook page, man. I don't want to get her bugged by people, but I think her fans
are respectful. Don't stalk her, please.
I think her fans are respectful.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go see that she's a real person,
Oh yeah, there, I see her. Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
Anyway.
So what's on your mind today, man?
Well, many things. No, just calling, talking about buttons.
Talking about what?
I think buttons.
Buttons.
Sorry, French accent.
Buttons.
Buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the extra pack there that you sent me, they're going to be pretty popular on the campus here.
Cool.
The university.
Cool.
What campus? Are you a student?
Yeah. University. I'm taking history. I called you guys a while back. That was a while. When I said that Stefan Molyneux, you were interviewed. He hosted the leadership show, and that's how I don't know if you guys...
You're sounding really crunchy, man. I can barely understand you. Is there anything you can change on your... Close other computer programs or something on your Skype, or... Are you on a phone?
I'm on my phone right now. Here, I'll take my landline.
Yeah.
I don't know is that better?
Why don't you call back on your landline, or is it the same number?
Okay.
Is it the same number? Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right.
All right, so hopefully we'll hear from Rico again in a little bit here.
Yeah,
I think I remember him calling and talking to us a little bit about his experience at the university.
Yeah.
Don't remember the name of the university.
Hello.
Though. Oh, there he is. What's up, man?
Hey.
Hey.
Did it work?
That sounds much better.
Yes.
Oh, so you have the same number for your home and your landline? I mean, you're selling your landline? How do you do that?
I don't know. It worked. it's a weird university package. I don't know how it works.
it's so they can listen to all of it.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I'm looking at Iva. I can see how you would think Iva was computer generated.
Yeah, she, well, I didn't really knew. I kind of guessed.
I mean, she could definitely play, like, you know, some sci-fi vampire chick in some post-apocalyptic movie without a lot of changes.
That's right. You know?
And there's a picture of her on here with her face all painted up with an octopus, an actual octopus on her head. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Where? That's not on the Facebook page? Or?
Yeah, go to her Facebook page and just click through her pictures. Maybe you have to be her friend to click through them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can write her and say, I'm a friend of the Fiends. And I won't buy
it. I don't know.
Are you going to hand out the buttons at school, or what do you plan to do with them?
I don't know. I'll try.
Awesome.
Well, things are pretty statist over here, but...
I bet, yeah.
I'll give it a try. Yeah.
They'll outlaw Fiends buttons in your province.
Well, I don't know. I got a Gagson flag on my wall. I got a Ron Paul poster. I hope they don't come in my room.
Yeah. What do your friends at the university say? Do you try to talk to them about liberty versus statism? Is that a conversation that's open?
Yeah, I try to make it not too heavy. Just mention it there. You know, mention the name Michael W. Dean, so it, the name of Daddy, so it, you know, it registers.
Well, I'm okay to mention in academia because I've written other books before I became libertarian anarchist that. Are actually like recommended reading in some colleges and required reading in a couple colleges. You know, the film, my film series, film, music, and writing school books are textbooks published by a textbook company. So, I mean, they might even be in the library. They are a lot of universities. So you can mention that. And then,
That's great. Yeah, the 99 cents. Film school?
Yeah. Right. Well, that was
$30.
Originally, the idea was I was going to write up everything I knew about film school, about filmmaking, into this like 40-page PDF, and I put it up, and I had the URL for a while, 99centfilmschool.com, and like 2,000 people donated it, and not a single one made a donation. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go get a book deal and expand this, and I did, and I'm still paying my mortgage on rent, and then now mortgage on that book, so it worked out okay.
On a libertarian film I liked.
Which one?
It's called Shenandoah.
Oh, yeah. Talk about it. I've not seen it. Have you, Nima?
No,
oh,
haven't seen it.
You did talk about it?
No, we've not talked about it. You posted that on a thread where I was saying that the libertarian film we made, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, is showing at a film festival in Colorado next week. That was how it came.
Yeah, no, I love your film.
Yep. No, I haven't seen Shenandoah. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's got Jimmy Stewart. It's a Hollywood film from the 60s, and it's kind of unbelievable that he plays an anarcho-capitalist character.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, that both the conspiracy and the union are trying to involve him in the war, and he tells both sides to go to hell.
I love that. Now, when was it made? In the 50s?
That was made in the 60s. It's kind of low budget. It's quality production, but kind of made on the budget of a TV series like The Big Valley or something like that.
Okay. So how does it end? Does he win, or is it like you shall not be anarcho-capitalist because you will lose, you can't fight the state kind of a thing? Or is it optimistic?
You know, he goes through a lot of travails because, you know, the Civil War is hard on everyone. And
right,
he spends a lot of it searching for his youngest son, who was captured as the Union thought he was a Confederate soldier, which he wasn't. Mm-hmm. So he spent most of the war trying to track down his son, and but at the end, you know, he pulls his family together. You know, with great loss, like he loses mm-hmm. his eldest son.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Definitely, he's not like.
Got it.
He's not considered like a loser in the movie. Like,
got it.
You never think like he did the wrong thing.
Yeah, added I want to know.
It's on my DVD queue for Netflix right now. I added it.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it too. Is it streaming on Netflix or is it just DVD on Netflix?
Just DVD.
Michael? Just DVD. Okay.
I've seen the movie poster before. I always thought it was John Wayne. I kind of looked at it like without looking too closely. You know, it's got a cowboy and horses and a couple kissing.
Is Abraham Lincoln portrayed at all in the movie?
Son's in it.
How's Abraham Lincoln portrayed in it?
Lincoln, not really portrayed at all. I can't even remember a mention of him.
Hmm. Okay.
It's much more on a local level, where you just see the people that, you know, that Charlie Anderson, the character, has to deal with. You know, they come out to his farm to kind of like impress his sons into the Confederate Army, and he's not having any of that. And then the Union comes by to take his horses for the Union Army, and he kind of kicks their ass.
And all that stuff happened too. You know, we're going to take your sons, we're going to take your horses, and that happens all over the world in wars everywhere. And it's the patriotic thing to do to comply.
Yeah, well, you know, he gives some great anti-state speeches in the movie, so, you know, I urge people to check it out.
Oh, we will, man. Got anything else on your mind?
That's it for today. Love your show. Love your movie.
Cool, man.
All right, man. We appreciate it.
Tell two friends.
Okay.
Thanks, bro.
Or more.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
We should start saying tell all of your friends.
Yeah.
Why just two?
Tell two friends is a takeoff on something that's before everyone's time who calls in to the show probably. There was an ad in like the 60s, late 60s, early 70s for like, I think it was for like baby shampoo or something. And at the end, they were like, tell two friends. And then they had another variation on it where it's like, he told two friends, and they told two friends, and they told. It was explaining like viral media in 1970 or something.
Yeah,
you know? It was a viral advertising campaign in 1970.
We need to update it based on the Ron Swanson
tell
model
2000
of bacon and eggs.
Yes. Tell 2,000 friends. What's how's it?
Well, Ron Swanson, he says, "Give me all the bacon and eggs you have." He says, "I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't mean a lot of bacon and eggs. I mean all of the bacon and eggs you have." So we should tell people to tell all of the friends they have.
Hey, have you seen this thing Facebook's doing? A screenshot someone posted of, "Please help us make Facebook better. Please help us understand how people are using Facebook. Your response is anonymous and won't affect your friend's account. Is this your friend's real name?" And it's got a picture and the name of one of your friends. And the answers are yes, no, I don't know this person, and I don't want to answer.
Ah, and I've heard if you say I don't know this person, they do something to that friend.
You've heard that?
I've heard that. I don't know if it's true. It was just on a Facebook wall.
I don't think they would delete them. I think, you know what they do? It's probably if the person's adding you as a friend and they've been adding several people a day. I've never gotten this before, but I've gotten blocked on Facebook for 2 weeks a couple times to where I can only read stuff that I started the post, and I can't email, I can't message people, and I can't post on other people's sites. And I think it was a few times, you know, and it's effed up because Facebook, you know, says people you might be interested in and lists like 10 people, and I would just add them all.
Yeah, click on add friend, but it's suggesting them to you.
Right, and then one of them says, I don't know this person, and then they block you. Man, corporations are pissing me off. Okay, like, first of all, I found out from Ben Quaker, the reason real light bulbs are illegal is because GE's patent expired, so they came up with a new light bulb and patented that and then forced the government to make everybody switch over.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
and then Facebook's doing all this crap. And then YouTube, I started getting, like, first of all, they're demanding your real name. And second of all, every email I was getting from them was crashing my email browser. And then I went in to try to turn off email sending. It's really hard now to find that. And it's really hard to find your inbox. Like, basically, and it's hard to message people. Basically, they don't want people to talk to each other anonymously or at all on there anymore. They just want to, you know, show you trailers for Hollywood movies. That's what they're aiming the site at.
It's really sad. I haven't had the same experience with YouTube yet, but then again, it took me like a month after everybody else was forced into timeline on Facebook before I did. So maybe it's just going to
hit different
people at different times. Yeah.
I'm a late choosing.
Yeah. Involuntary adopter.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, it's a shame because YouTube and Facebook, they're so important. Like, I think they really do fill a niche, and people want to use them. So, I don't know. Maybe we need some better competition. I don't know what the answer is, but
well, it's really hard to start a social network. Where competition is easier is creating utilities. Like, Skype is getting really horrible, and like Microsoft owns it now, and they did that drive-by install of it last week. And but you know, there's other utilities out there.
There's tons of other utilities.
There's Jitsi, which we tried, and it was okay. It was better than Skype. you know, starting
for now, we're sticking with Mumble, but hey, those are two great options that aren't Skype.
Yeah. But Jitsi doesn't require buying a server for $3 a month like Mumble
that's
does.
True. Completely free. Although you have to use a different account. You can't create a Jitsi account.
Yeah.
You have to go through another account. Oh. So, yeah.
That's open.
Fiends. Yep. All right, folks. Back to the Freedom Fiends. In case y'all want to give us a call, it's 307-215-5171. Give us a ring. Again, that is 307-215-5171.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to start a pirate radio station. That'd be pretty awesome.
No, you don't.
No? All right.
We don't
I want
laws.
To, but I guess
we don't break
won't.
Laws.
We don't.
Laws are part of the social contract,
just,
brother.
I'm playing this old school video game that has a pirate radio that everybody listens to in the game called Jet Set Radio.
Well, we have
it's such a cool game. It's got graffiti. It's got pirate radio. It's got cops that are the bad guys that you have to spray paint in the face and run away from. It's awesome. Y'all should check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting more popular than ever. We're going to have a banner download month here. We're at like 3.3 gigs right now, and there's still a week left of the month. Last month was one of the last 2 months was our highest ever.
You mean 3.3 terabytes.
Yeah. 3.6 terabytes. And we're at 3.3 right now. And
Yeah. So thank you, Fiends, for listening. We love you.
Yeah. Actually, yes. I'll check it. I'll check the stats. I'll steal some time from the Fiends.
No, it's not stealing. You're being transparent, right?
We're at 3.4 right now. 3.4 terabytes. Awesome. And we got something
we
really cool.
We still got a week left.
We got something really cool coming up. Oh, yeah, by tomorrow it'll be over 3.6 when this new episode comes out. We got something really cool coming up. I kind of can't talk about it, but I'm going to. Because it's set in stone yet, but it's pretty much going to happen. I think we're going to be syndicated on the Podfathers No Agenda radio stream. No Agenda is Adam Curry's, you know, Adam Curry basically co-invented podcasting, and he used to be an MTV VJ, and he is a computer guy, and he's a libertarian anarchist, and he's got a great show that's incredibly popular, one of the most popular indie podcasts out there called No Agenda, and he started a stream, like an LRN type thing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be on, I'm pretty sure we're going to be on there. I don't know if we're going to be just rebroadcast or doing, I'd like to do another live show, a third show a week.
Well, we don't know the details yet, but they've expressed interest and you're going to talk to them very soon. So, I mean, as long as they don't, you know, ask for my firstborn child, it's probably pretty likely.
Or exclusivity, because I wouldn't walk away from LRN. They've done really good by us and we've.
Oh, yeah. We love LRN. We won't be leaving. And the only reason we bring that up is because it seemed kind of funny that Scott Horton moved his live show to No Agenda stream, but he's not doing the LRN live show anymore. So we were wondering why.
We don't know that's funny. It's just, funny sounds suspect. I don't think it's suspect. I'm sure there's a reason.
No, I don't think it's suspect. We didn't know why that happened. That's what I mean by funny. Is like, I was like, huh, why did that happen?
I'm like, why couldn't you do it on both? I mean, I have enough computers. Yeah. I could figure out how to stream us to two streams live at once.
I mean, we do a simulcast with just a male-to-male eighth-inch wire into a computer.
Yeah.
So it's doable. You just got to do it.
The more fiends, the merrier, man.
Morphine, merrier. Merrier, morphine.
Yeah. So what I'll do
sounds like a name brand.
I'll talk to the guy on Tuesday. We have an appointment. And if he doesn't want your firstborn child, we'll do it.
Third, we can maybe work something out depending on compensation. We'll see.
Yeah, some sort of indentured servitude of the third child would be acceptable.
There you go. Yeah. No, the second one, and we'll keep the third one because he'll have middle child syndrome anyway. So
there you go. The damage.
He's gonna listen to this in like 20 years and be like, "I hate you, Dad. You always felt that way about me."
He'll require years of therapy.
And I'll just be like, "You were an accident, man. I don't even know what you're talking about."
And then on his 18th birthday, you give him a shoeshine kit and a list of homeless shelters and kick him out. I actually had a friend who on his 18th birthday, his dad gave him a shoeshine kit and kicked him out of the house.
Wow.
Which, there's nothing unlibertarian about that, but it's pretty harsh. And the guy ended up being a strung out drug addict and dying of AIDS, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but...
Yeah, it's not like it violates the non-aggression principle, but it's a pretty dirty, mean thing to do.
Yeah.
I guess because I feel like it says, "Hey, son, I have no faith in you, and I don't like you either."
Well, I don't know what their relationship was either or not. And his dad's dad had been the president of Mexico for 1 month until they cut off his head and then put his heart in a jar in the National Museum, and it's still there.
Right. All you had to say was his dad was president of Mexico. We assume that's how they all end, right?
Well, that was like right after the revolution. It was the
that,
first
that's president. That's racist. I'm kidding.
President Carranza. Yeah, he, yeah.
Yep. Don't they have a law in Mexico that you can, presidents can't run for re-election? You can only be president once. They have one term limit on presidency.
I don't know. I mean, I don't care about politics anymore, but I'd like that for Congress here, man. Because
you think that'd help anything? I don't know if that'd help anything.
Not in the long run, but in a way it would, because people become career politicians and just, you know, basically, although the problem is the other end of that is if you only had one term,
you're going to loot as much as you can.
You wouldn't care. Yeah. Right. You wouldn't have any accountability for, you know, you'd be like, of course I'll promise your union 100 years of pensions at double your pay scale. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of Hans Hermann Hoppe's argument that, you know, kings had a different sense of ownership because it was long term. You know, they wanted their son, the prince, to also inherit a state that was still functioning. Whereas if you have no sense of ownership, it's just a short term one hit thing. You're just going to loot as much as you can.
You know, I slipped into minarchy there for a minute. I should have called Ben, my anarchy sponsor.
Your sponsor?
Ben, I'm thinking of voting. Talk me out of it. I'm going to relapse and vote.
He's your Status Anonymous sponsor. Yeah, I'll tell Ben what happened, and I mean he'll lend a very understanding shoulder for you to lean on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Someone just sent me their I asked someone for their phone number and they sent it to me and then said increase the last digit by and then said some other number and I'm like, okay, is that to keep the central scrutiny? You think that's gonna fool the central scrutinizer?
It's low key encryption.
It's kindergarten encryption. Yeah, there's actually on the Shield. There's a drug dealer they bust who's got like every number in his phone. Like he's added one to it. You know, so it's only like 434. That's not it. You know, that's Virginia. Oh wait, you mean 323? It's L.A. Okay, we got it.
Yeah. Well, if the NSA recruits from the TSA's best and brightest, then maybe it will fool them.
Yeah. Did you know the TSA had checkpoints and bag searches at a Romney campaign event? They had people in TSA outfits and you had to go by this table and be searched TSA style to get into cheer for Romney. I bet you if you had a Fiends button or a Ron Paul button, they wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, that's completely ridiculous. It reminds me of something
they would have called
somebody
it a weapon.
Said.
They would have said it's a weapon because it has a pin on the back of it.
Has a pin on it, yeah, yeah. It's a weapon of mass instruction.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I forgot. Okay. Anyway.
Eloquent.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Status think people should be in jail for being happy. That's the name of this episode. Lou came up with it, and we mentioned that, but it's worth exploring. I mean, a lot of it, what that came up from was I was searching Nick Cassavetes in libertarian because I wanted to see if he identified as a libertarian and he doesn't. But that movie, My Sister's Keeper, has such a libertarian, you know, like if there was libertarian logic classes, the story in that would be, you know, what would you do in lib pair in this? You know, and of course, you'd let the 11-year-old girl sue her parents for medical emancipation to stop being a, you know, donor body for her sister.
Well, see, here's what confused me about the premise, and maybe you can enlighten me. So she wanted to not be forced to go through the medical procedures her parents were doing to her, but she still wanted to live with her parents and be a part of the family?
Yes, because emancipation, no 11-year-old is going to get emancipated from non-abusive parents, you know, and be on their own.
I feel like the best thing in that situation, though, would be for maybe her to go to another family, because if the state or some third party enforced
some
rule.
She liked the family and she got along with the family and she loved her sister and wanted to be around her. There's a twist at the end. I'm not going to give away a spoiler that makes it different, but the libertarian noodle scratcher is just the basic lawsuit. And Alec Baldwin plays the lawyer and Joan Cusack plays the judge. It's a really cool casting. And yeah. But
I kind of feel like, though, and I guess I didn't watch it, so I don't know how the family treated her, but that seems kind of like a cold thing. Like, were they just using her as an organ farm?
Well, that's why they had her. I mean, they went to a geneticist and picked the best sperm to produce the child to be an organ farm.
But did they end up loving her as a daughter, or did they still treat her as an organ farm?
No, they loved her as a daughter. Yeah, but they wanted her to give a kidney, and she was like, no. I mean, that's going to affect my life for the rest of my life. I can't drink. I can't do sports. I can't do, you know, I have to be careful all the time. No. Worms. So we're going to go sell some stuff and then come back for our wonderful final segment. Last chance for Fiends buttons. Buy them. 3 days, they go away. Yeah.
I got a nice little story of horizontal liberation.
Ah, oh, sounds like it's going to be awesome. We love those kind of stories. Save it for when we're on live, though. We don't want our live audience to hear that, too.
Right.
So how's life been treating you, Lou?
Pretty good. I went to the Campaign for Liberty hog and lamb roast yesterday, and it was an open carry event.
Nice. And was everybody carrying, or were there a few unbelievers?
Most of the people were carrying. I'd say at least half.
What were you sporting? I can imagine a libertarian Joan Rivers being like, what is he carrying? What were you carrying?
I had the Glock 17 9mm.
Okay, nice.
Accessorized with a double magazine ammo pouch.
Ah, beautiful. How many rounds is that? Is that 16 plus 1? 15 plus 1?
17 plus 1.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then
the top hat, or the overcoat, we could say, was I had the AR on the combat sling.
Oh, you did? Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Anybody else open carry a rifle?
No, I was the only one.
Ah.
The event was held at a local bar, and he's like, well, yeah, if you want to be in the fenced-in area or out in the parking lot, no problem. You know, just probably shouldn't bring it inside.
Don't fence me in.
Really? He didn't want you to take it in?
What are we talking about?
I was carrying
my AR.
Where'd you take it?
To the Campaign for Liberty hog and lamb roast yesterday.
Oh, my God. Hog and lamb roast.
is that really what it's called, or is that tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I actually got a couple funny looks when I had the AR strapped on.
I'll bet.
Well, you had to kill the lamb before they roasted it, right?
It was already in the barbecue when I got there.
Okay.
Yeah. We're coming back in a minute here.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I noticed that the blog has been getting picked up by a few different websites.
I noticed that too, man. The blog was the greatest idea ever, and I really loved your contributions in it. And I hope they keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Lou's articles and his little quips there. Are we on?
We have a pretty amazing new blogger being added. Hey, it's the Fiends, and we got Lou on the line. What's up, Lou?
Same old stuff.
Lou's one of the bloggers on the Fiends blog, and he's like the ninth fiend or the seventh fiend or something. I don't keep track after third, but he's an important part of the Fiends. And we have a really cool get with the Fiends blog. We are adding another blogger next week, and it is... Can you guess who it is?
Ben Stone?
It's David Crowley, the director of Grey State Movie. He's going to be a regular blogger. Yep.
Wow, that is a get.
I can get anybody, man. I can. I mean, you know, not anything against anyone I get. It's not saying they're gettable or I got them or did anything to them. But,
saying they're easy.
I mean, weren't we saying on the cast like 2 weeks ago, like, yeah, Adam Curry, the Podfather, has a new streaming network. We should get on it.
And we got on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. But Lou called in to tell us a fascinating story about horizontal enforcement, and I told him we love those stories because those are the kind of stories we want to hear. Go ahead and go for it, Lou.
Well, it's a double dose of liberty because not only is it horizontal liberation, but...
That's what I meant. Horizontal liberation.
It is also stymieing the statist. I guess in the city of Detroit, there's a ballot measure to where for pot to become legal. I called into a radio station, and they had a couple of people. One person was supporting the legalization, the other was against it. The one that was against it is a substance abuse counselor. He's black. His race will come in. It'll be important.
Well, and he's a substance abuse counselor, so he has a monopoly of state recommendations to him because drugs are illegal.
Well, he makes money off of it, right? He makes his living on the fact that it's illegal.
And basically, he thinks people should be in jail for being happy, and then he'll rescue them from jail for a price.
Mm. Right. So anyway, I decided that I would call into the radio show and voice my little liberating comments and just point out the foolishness of his ideas. And I informed him that I worked with homeless people, many of which have had substance abuse problems. And not a single one of his drug laws has prevented that.
What do you say, and how does his race play into it?
Well, I'll get to that one. I also informed him that other people are not his property. Nobody has the right to tell somebody else what to do, no matter how many elections you have, no matter what title you give, no matter how much magic fairy dust you sprinkle on a human being. He's still a human being. And of course, he had spouted off with the status mantra of, it's the law, to which I reminded him at one time, so was segregation.
Ah, got it. Did you know he was black from his voice, or did you see a picture of him?
Yeah. I could tell from his voice, just the different things that he was saying.
How did he respond to that, though? Did he get it when you said, at one time, so was segregation? Did it click, or where did he go after that?
Well, I could see him flinching through the radio. And then, of course, somebody hit the refresh button, and he says, well, people have to be regulated, blah, blah, statism, blah, 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 blah.
He just went back to his old boilerplate and didn't really have a direct rebuttal of what you said.
You know, this segregation thing is a really weird quandary for a lot of statists. When you say something like that, like, you know, horrible things used to be the law, they must have this concept of like, well, yeah, but in about 1968, everything became perfect, you know, and we need to enforce everything since then and then work on getting rid of the Second Amendment.
Well, here's something else for you. You got all these immigration statists that are bitching, there's a process. Yeah, it takes several years, but it's the law. Well, so is Obamacare, and that's going to require a lot of paperwork, and that's going to take several years. Lap it up.
Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any patience for legal positivism anymore. I mean, just because something's the law doesn't mean it's right. And people do like to pick and choose. You're right. The same people that say it's the law about one thing will go and complain about the other thing. And then they'll throw around that old thing, well, if you don't agree with something, you should work within the system to fix it.
Yeah,
well,
and my answer, my answer to that is the Ron Paul campaign is proof that won't work. The dirty dealings that they did to keep Ron Paul from getting on the ballot just prove to me, F you to anybody who says, well, if you want, don't like the law, just work hard to change it.
Yeah. Well, the system's not fair and it's not moral. So working within the system, you're not going to get any good to come out of it.
I'd say more people put in more intense man hours trying to get Ron Paul elected than probably anything that's ever happened in America except ending segregation. And that would have ended on its own anyway. But Ron Paul, you know, that was just proof to me that those people need to be virtually slapped. Reach through the radio and slap him.
Well, there were a lot of activist types at that hog roast yesterday that...
Hog roast. Are these confiscated hogs being roasted?
No, I think they were all purchased from the store.
By the state.
Okay. But there were a lot of people talking about activism, getting involved, working within the system. And one of the guys there, who's one of the chairmen of Campaign for Liberty, was saying that he went out to this training thing out in Virginia, and roughly about 95% of the activists that are really gung-ho and making a difference wind up selling out. They get offered a position, you know, hey, we need a coordinator. We need somebody to, you know, bring up
the information. They pull a Jesse Benton, basically?
Essentially.
I would say you are very gung-ho, literally, because you brought a gun.
Gung-ho.
Gung-ho.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah.
Oh, and I know I haven't been doing too much on the blog. I've been busy as hell this past
week.
That's okay.
That's why we have redundancy. I mean, not that everyone's the same, but we have like 12 good people. So, you know, if one of them does something once a week and one does something twice a week, that's a lot of blog posts.
Yeah.
I've started the project of, you know, LibPair, and I'm using the working title of Free New World, but that's subject to change.
I like it. I really think you should have that scene in there that you thought of the in the future of the child saying to the mother, "Mommy, what's gun control? Or what's a gun permit?
Oh, yeah.
What's a permit?"
I'm actually going to make a series like a mini novel or a fiend soap opera, and it's going to be three sections. It's going to be the decline, the collapse, and then rising from the ashes.
Am I going to be the the libertarian overlord of the world? I want to be that.
You're going to be the commandant of the libertarian re-education camps, and you will be the chief of beating the non-aggression principle into people.
That is not going to help my station in life a lot if you really do that, but it's pretty damn funny.
I like the idea of an opera, though. I mean, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to produce.
It's going to be a combination of Gray State and Office Space.
I like that. That's a good pitch, man.
It is, yeah.
Gray State meets Office Space in a dark alley, and they fight.
Right. So there's going to be some comedy in there, but I am gonna scare the living shit out of some people.
Oh, my.
Or at least creep them out.
What do you think about this? Have you heard about this thing? The new iPhone 5 is like so popular that in New York City they're getting stolen all the time. So the police are hanging out in front of the iTunes store, the Apple store, and offering to register people's iPhones preemptively in case they're stolen. And they say, like, the next generation in identity protection, which is also the motto of the New Jersey thing where they're saying you can't smile in a government ID. Which is to make it easier to use optical, you know, face recognition software with it. But DJ just said, you know, no more smiles in New Jersey.
Right. I feel like I'm not going to feel good about or comfortable letting the thieves try to keep my Apple iPhone from getting stolen.
I know. Right? I mean, and like saying the next generation in identity protection for the you know, you can't smile in the IDs. Like, that's not identity protection. That's being identifiable.
It's control.
To them.
Yeah.
Protection,
yeah.
You know?
That's the next generation in controlling you and having you under our thumb.
Yeah. I mean, and do you really want to, like, take your new iPhone out of the box before you get to unbox it at home in the privacy of your masturbatory bedroom and, like,
let the cops open your iPhone for you?
And, like, probably plug it into some device that'll, you know, copy the serial number or whatever?
Well, I was in New Jersey for a few months years ago, and I didn't smile the whole time, so that's not a real big deal.
They're just making it official.
And if the cops want to hang out at the iStore, you know, well, and I guess that means that people will be running rampant with their 16.9 fluid ounces of soda and their salt shakers and everything else.
I don't know, man. There's so many cops in New York.
Corner.
Yeah.
They want to, though.
Think about the real crimes that the cops won't be able to do anything about while that's happening, if you believe the police can do anything about it. And thanks for calling in, Lou.
All right. Take care.
Worms.
Appreciate it, Lou. Thanks.
It's been another fine Fiends Day, Nima. Thank you.
Yeah, it sure has. We got bumper music playing us out. Is it time to wrap it up, B?
Wrap it up, B.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal, or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.